Wikipedia says 1995.
Oh yeah, you're right.
So does IMDb.
Oh wait, yeah, there's a TV show.
Oh yes, yeah.
I pulled up that on that was 96. Wow.
Not starring Alicia Silverstone.
No.
Alicia Grayrock. That's who they got to be in that one. So.
Alyssa Grayrock.
1, 2, 3, hit it, boy.
So get together, have a few laughs.
Uh-oh, shit, lady, do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
Lady, put the freaking gun down on the ground right now. Take your son across the freaking street and say that until he's gonna get you.
Hello, and welcome to Where There's a Willis, There's a Way, a film podcast about the multitudes of work by Bruce Willis. My name is Josh Carter.
And I am Kendrick Martin. Today, we will be covering 1995's Clueless, written and directed by Amy Heckerling. It stars Alicia Silverstone, Stacey Dash, Brittany Murphy, and Paul Rudd. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, what we do here is an in-depth breakdown of a movie starring Bruce Willis, except not today.
Dun, dun, dun!
Normally, we would talk about Bruce Willis, talk about his contribution, rate the movie, rank the movie, write the movie, but instead, we're going to take a little break. We're doing some classic 90 hits from the 90s. That's typically when the 90s hits were. And this is the third in that series. If you want to go back, you can listen to our coverage of Ronin and Air Force One. After today, we'll have one more, and then we're going to go back to Brucey Boy in the 2000s.
This week, we have a special guest. Please give a warm welcome to Kaylee.
Hello. Excited to be on the pod.
Yeah. Excited to have you. Kaylee has been a contributor to this show for a long, long, long time behind the scenes. She was there the very first day that I watched Blind Date and then also watched Sunset, I'm pretty sure, and a bunch of the other ones, including the underdog of this show, Hudson Hawk. And Kaylee has seen it.
Oh yeah.
Which one? Oh yeah, look who's talking.
So you were already ingrained in the Amy Heckerling expanded universe. That connects this podcast to Bruce Willis.
Yes.
So it's great to have her on.
Equally.
All Amy Heckerling films are just as great, or not. We'll discuss that. But yeah, you guys can find our previous episodes over at williswaypod.com. So if you're thinking, wow, I'm really interested in checking out Sunset. Oh boy, is it a fun, exciting episode as we are learning how to put on our podcasting shoes. But you can find other podcasts in the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network over at lastoftheactionheroes.com. And then please rate and review us on iTunes and now Spotify as well. And then tell your friends and your friends' friends about us, because everybody needs a little bit of Bruce Willis in their life.
Yeah, we would really love it if you left us a rating on one of those two sites. Also, we have a Discord for all of the podcasts on the Action Heroes Network. We'll put the link to join the Discord in our podcast show notes. And sometimes we will do a live stream recording where you can join the chat and listen live as we record. Before we dive into the discussion of this movie, we like to upfront give you a rating of whether we think this movie is worth watching. Now, Josh, some podcasts have the thumbs up, thumbs down. Some podcasts have the 5-star ranking system. But we have invented our own much better ranking system, because in this system, if you don't give a movie 5 stars, that movie's not going to go suffering for it.
True.
Like it was your Uber driver and you just didn't like the way they took a turn. So instead of that flawed ranking system that is the stars or the thumbs, we have come up with the Bruce Willis ranking system. If this is your first time listening, the way this ranking system works is we will rate a movie, a Bruce Willis, out of a Bruce Willis. The more of a Bruce Willis it is, the more we like the film. And an easy shorthand is anything that gets ranked over a Bruce we think is worth watching. So, Kaylee, since you're our guest, why don't you tell me what you would rank this movie, a Bruce Willis out of a Bruce Willis?
Oh, I'm at a full Bruce Willis.
Oh, wow.
All right.
I'm at Halloween costume, movie poster on the wall, full Bruce Willis.
Wow. Excellent. Excellent. Josh, how about yourself?
I like Clueless a lot. And I think that it's worth a watch. So it's obviously over a Bruce W, but just wearing that Bruce W, I think really would depend on the individual and how much they like high school comedies / coming of age movies. I would rate it a Bruce Wee, but it's got Paul Rudd in it and that bumps it up a little bit. So I'm going to go Bruce Will with one L.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I also really like this movie. I can't quite claim to be the full Bruce Willis fangirl over this, but I think this movie is easily a Bruce Will. And typically Paul Rudd would detract a movie. So the fact that it's still a Bruce Will really tells you how much I enjoyed this movie.
Oh, whoa. Wait, I forgot that you don't like Paul Rudd. That's such a weird thing to dislike, Kendrick. Who hurt you?
What a kind face to hate.
Yeah. How do you hate America's favorite cousin, Paul Rudd?
Look, most of his movies, he ends up playing Paul Dudd in them, and that just gives me a bad taste in my mouth.
You're not supposed to taste Paul Rudd. You're supposed to love him, cherish him, yeah, hold him tight.
Taste or not taste, I don't enjoy it.
Oh, man. That's so, so bonkers to me that you don't like Paul Rudd, because he's like one of the most likable people in my mind. But, you know, Kendrick, if you just want to be a little different, that's fine.
You know, I'm not the only person. There's at least one other person out there with me who's probably listening who doesn't enjoy Paul Rudd as much as the classic gang of Paul Ruddians or whatever you call yourselves. And if you're listening, you should email us.
Yeah, if you don't like Paul Rudd, you should email us. And if you do like Paul Rudd, you should email us and tell us that Kendrick is wrong.
In
500 words or less. Mm-hmm. Preferably a lot less.
I will take an email either way. Speaking of emails, we do have an email to read.
Oh, my goodness. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I just remembered what this email is.
This email comes from Nathan. And do you want to read this email from Nathan, Josh?
Yeah, I'll read this email from Nathan. Speaking of 500 words, Nathan says, "Hello, podcasters. I have opinions. I disagree." First off, Kaylee, have you seen the new Spider-Man movie?
I have not.
Okay.
I know all of the spoilers.
Oh, so yeah. So we should say
about
how much of this email spoils things.
I don't think there's...
There actually isn't any spoilers if people have seen the trailers.
Yeah. I don't think there's any spoilers if you've seen the trailers.
Okay. Okay, so no spoilers. No spoilers for the Spider-Man. Anyways, Nathan writes, "Hello, podcasters. I have opinions. I disagree with the assertion that Peter Parker needs to be in high school in the adaptation. Spider-Man is best when he struggles, and struggling with daily life is one of the best things out there for him." And then he also says, "Lizard Man, just Lizard, the Lizard, Sonic the Hedgehog, but without the Sonic and replacing Hedgehog with Lizard. I can't believe you've done this."
So
that was more confusing.
I'm going to cut in here real quick and say, when I first read this email, I literally had to sit down and be like, Sonic the Hedgehog, take out Sonic, put in Lizard. The Lizard?
I'm imagining you like wheel out a whiteboard for this.
Yeah, it's like I'm in first grade here and I have to diagram a sentence for Miss Frizzle and I'm like, okay, find the adjective. All right, strike out the preposition. Sonic, the head. Yeah. I get where you're going with this, Nathan, but minus 10 points for this explanation. Anyway, keep reading, Josh.
He says, I also think that the magic spell had to be explained in order to set the stakes properly. If magic can just whoa and stuff happens, it's not as interesting or engrossing. But that's less comic knowledge than me just interpreting the movie. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I'm fine with whoa. But, you know, not everybody else is. So that's all right. That's all right. And then he says, there's actually a lot more comic material these movies could draw from the genuinely great to the misguided but interesting. Some of it would even work great on screen, and I'd love to see it. Thor, in particular, has barely begun to tap into what he can do, and the Clone Saga from Spider-Man, although controversial in its initial run, has great potential to shake things up. But hey, I'm just a comic nerd. Nothing has to be one-to-one or completely original. I'm excited to see the new and familiar, so long as it's good. And then he says, also, yes, the plural of beef is beeves. Great episode, as always. And then he follows with some Wheel of Willis suggestions, which I will not spoil for later. So thank you, Nathan, for that email.
That's been a real bummer from these bonus episodes, as we haven't done the Wheel of Willis, unfortunately.
I know, I've been missing it.
So he says he's just a comic nerd. Do you think that means he's like a comedic nerd or a nerd about comics?
Hey, all right, everybody, listen up. We got Nathan, the comic nerd. Batman walk into a bar.
That would be a pretty funny bit. If I was ever a stand-up comic, I would use that. Thank you, Nathan, for this email. I think his first point was about Peter Parker needing to be in high school. I think I might have said something to that. I think he might be responding to something I said. I agree. I don't think he actually needs to be in high school. I think he needs to struggle with juggling life's challenges. And I think my point was this version of Peter Parker hasn't really shown that very much, whether or not he was in high school. I still think the Sam Raimi ones kind of showed that struggle the best. But
agreed.
You can go back and listen to our Spider-Man No Way Home. Long Way Home? No Way Home? What's it? What is it?
No Way Home.
Spider-Man podcast. And check out our discussion there. All right. If you want to email us yourself, you can send an email at williswaypod@gmail.com. Before we jump into Clueless, we're going to take a quick break. There are pretty faces that you find. Hey, dear listener, thanks for listening. If you're looking for a way you can help support this podcast, well, first of all, we would love it if you would go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a star rating and review. That's definitely the easiest and cheapest for you way you can help us. If you're looking for another way to help out, you can head on over to anchor.fm/Willis-Way and hit the support button and you can send us a few bucks. This podcast is definitely just a labor of love from Josh and I, and we definitely don't expect any form of financial donation, but we'd love anything you can send us. Thanks again for listening.
Now, we're going to get into Clueless.
So, okay, like right now, for example, the Haitians need to come to America. But some people are all, what about the strain on our resources? But it's like when I had this garden party for my father's birthday, right? people came that like did not RSVP. So I was like totally bugging. I had to haul ass to the kitchen, squish in extra place settings, and like people were on mismatched chairs and all. But by the end of the day, it was like the more the merrier. And so if the government could just get to the kitchen, rearrange some things, we could certainly party with the Haitians.
Wow. You guys talk like grown-ups.
Oh, well, this is a really good school.
Mr. Hall was way harsh. He gave me a C minus.
Well, he gave me a C, which drags down my entire average. Hello?
There was a stop sign?
I totally paused. You try driving in platforms.
Oh, should I write them a note?
Ew, get off of me. Ugh, as if.
Cher's got attitude about high school boys.
It's a personal choice every woman has got to make for themselves.
Cher is saving herself for Luke Perry.
Cher, you're a virgin?
I mean, I'm not prude. I'm just highly selective. I mean, you see how picky I am about my shoes, and they only go on my feet.
Nice stems.
Thanks.
What the hell is that?
A dress.
Says who?
Calvin Klein.
What are you doing?
Yo, you're getting on the freeway! Get out of this lane!
You go, girl.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. Whatever. Did I miss something? Is big hair back?
Amber, my plastic surgeon doesn't want me doing any activity where balls fly at my nose.
Well, there goes your social life.
I'm gonna be a supermodel.
That audio was from the trailer of Clueless. I'm gonna go ahead and read the description from IMDb. Shallow, rich, and socially successful Cher is at the top of her Beverly Hills high school pecking scale. Seeing herself as a matchmaker, Cher first coaxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cher first coaxes two teachers into dating each other. And you can find this movie on HBO Max and video on demand, as well as on DVD, I believe. Right, Kaylee? Or no, uh-huh. You didn't buy this one. Okay.
I have this one. And also, oh, okay, nice. Criterion release when?
Oh, yes, exactly. Yeah.
That's a good question. Clueless could use a Criterion release.
Fast Times absolutely. Ridgemont High has one, so.
Yeah, well, let's not get into comparing things, but. I will say, before we get started, that trailer I would rank even higher because there was no Paul Rudd in it.
Yeah,
the trailer really is no plot, just vibes.
Yeah. It's extremely like Rudd absent, which is crazy because he's in the movie like a lot.
Yeah.
And he's missing from the movie description as well.
Oh yeah.
You're right.
Hard
to sell this stepbrother thing, probably.
Yeah.
Well, and like this little description from IMDb, that's like the first 10 minutes of the movie. So you have a whole lot of movie afterwards.
So before we start, this movie is loosely adapted from Jane Austen's Emma. And I'm curious if either of the two of you have any background in Jane Austen or Emma in particular, or if you've seen other adaptations of Emma?
I have not. I am like vaguely aware of it.
Josh?
Yeah, I haven't had any interactions with Emma at all. And I don't think that I've read anything else that Jane Austen's written, which is surprising because like Pride and Prejudice is a pretty big deal, as is Sense and Sensibility, but I have not read either of those. So
So I have seen the 1996 version of Emma with Gwyneth Paltrow a couple times, and the I just recently watched, there's a version that came out in 2020
Anya.
Yes, with Anya Taylor-Joy. Both of those are enjoyable. They don't have the like 90s vibes that this movie has, but otherwise the plot is very similar. So still funny, still like a lot of, you know, classic Austin humor. So I would recommend those, but just curious if either of you have seen the if you have seen those movies.
Nope, but I am gonna add it to my Letterboxd watch list. So
I would also say if you're going down the Jane Austen watch train, Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley from 2004, I think. Great, great movie also.
I feel like that's a controversial take in Pride and Prejudice circles, but I'm not involved enough to be sure.
So I've never read any of her books, so I can't chime in there.
The mini series, I think a lot of people are like, is the pinnacle for them.
That had, who was Mr. Darcy in the mini series? I feel like I can see his face. Nope, I can't think of it.
Colin Firth.
Oh, that's right. Yes, Colin Firth. In the 2005 film, it's played by Matthew McFadden, who is currently on Succession. If any of you've watched Succession, he plays this kind of goofy Midwestern guy. And it's very different from his Mr. Darcy role. So it's always a little bit of shock to be like, oh yeah, he was Mr. Darcy in Pride and Prejudice. But anyway, we're not here to discuss how much Jane Austen I apparently have watched in my life. We're here to talk about Clueless. Kaylee, you love this movie. So
I do.
Let's start with you. Tell me about when was the first time you saw this movie? And how has it impacted your life?
It must have been in high school, probably. I've seen this movie, though, many, many times. It has kind of become a brand for me, I think, in most of my walks of life, where I think most people know that it's one of my favorite movies. I've been share for Halloween.
Nice. This the style in this movie is very iconic. Even though I was reading on Wikipedia that Amy Heckerling kind of based the dialogue and the style on actual Valley Girl ways, and so it is wild to think that these seem like ridiculous clothes in my mind, but
I think she spent some time at like the actual Beverly Hills High.
Yeah. Yeah, the costumes in this the outfits are pretty great. There's a scene when she Cher is like in her closet and she's got like a computer and she's like picking out outfits, and then it'll like pick out stuff and it'll be like not cool or whatever.
This does not match.
Yeah, that was great.
Can't wear it.
That was great. Josh, how about you? Was this your first time seeing this?
Yep, it was my first time seeing this, and I was definitely a little bit confused while watching it. I was not sober, and I also thought that this was a different movie. I thought that it was, what's the movie called where this blonde Legally Blonde. I thought that it was Legally Blonde. And so I was like expecting it to be like, and that was high school, but this is now cut to like 4 years later. And so I was watching the movie and I was like, man, they spent a lot of time on this prologue.
4 years and about later, and suddenly she's Reese Witherspoon and law school.
I haven't seen either movie until just recently. So I was like expecting the jump forward so many times, and then they kept not doing it. I was like, wait a second. I think I've got myself confused. And then after I got past that confusion, I had a great time. We're going to be spoiling stuff for this movie, but we obviously all recommend that everybody go watch it. But there's like a plot point in this movie that is still very strange. But I guess it's in all the different versions of Emma. So it is what it is. But yeah, the like dialogue was great in this movie. I actually just realized that I did like the cinematography when I was watching it, but it's the cinematographer is Bill Pope, who is the cinematographer that worked on the Matrix movies. He worked on Spider-Man 2 and 3, Scott Pilgrim, worked on The World's End with Edgar Wright and Baby Driver. And he's also working on the new Ant-Man movie, which makes me a little bit more excited for that Paul Rudd starring film coming out soon. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I thought there was a lot of stuff to like about this movie.
I had seen this movie when I was a kid and not since then. And I had been wanting to rewatch it for a long time. So that was part of the reason why I had suggested this movie. I didn't remember much except for one specific scene, and it's in the trailer actually, but it's the scene where she's giving her debate speech about the Statue of Liberty does not say RSVP on it or whatever. That scene was like burned into my mind, and as soon as that came on, I was like, ah, yes, this is the part I remember this movie.
The Haydians.
Yes. Yeah. The Haydians. Yeah, so if the government can just get to the kitchen and move some things around.
I do love how that party with the Haydians.
Yeah.
I love how that like is actually something that makes sense. It's just like through a lens of Beverly Hills person from the 90s.
So
but as a policy, I stand by that.
Yeah.
Like get the government in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Hell
get,
yeah.
Get them to rearrange some of those dishes. This is something I want to bring up with the two of you. I was actually thinking about Legally Blonde while watching this because both of those movies, both of, you know, Clueless and Legally Blonde, have this protagonist who is a on the surface kind of ditzy girl, but still smart and capable and like well-versed in achieving things, but also able to pull off the quote unquote clueless aspect of herself. And like Legally Blonde, she's, you know, she scents her resume with perfume and uses pink paper or whatever. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie in a long time, but similarly, she can act this. She's able to kind of straddle that ridiculously goofy, but also extremely competent and smart. And I was wondering if Clueless kind of started that movie concept, or if there's like stories that I'm not thinking of that predate that.
It's a good question, because like if you like compare it to like Grease, whereas like she can't be that person anymore, like where someone is changing in the movie, where in like Legally Blonde and Clueless, like they don't change. It's like those are the things that like make them.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of if there's something else like that.
Both of these movies are like, I want to enjoy, you know, clothes and shopping and dating, but also I'm able to do well in school and like get a good job. Like they don't have to put aside kind of the, those things that they enjoy in order to succeed in the world. Because the other versions of Emma that I've seen, she comes, because of the like Victorian setting that it's in, she doesn't come across as on the surface like an inept person. She's just a woman, or she's just a gal living in a house, you know, doing her thing, doing her regular stuff, but she's also matchmaking and and connecting friends and falling in love and stuff. So that the clueless aspect is definitely unique to this movie.
Yeah, I would guess that a big part of this is that it's based on a book that was written by a woman, and it's directed and I believe written by Amy Heckerling.
Mm-hmm.
So means that she did the majority, if not all, of the writing. So I think that that definitely comes across, that they're able to create women characters that are way more fleshed out than a lot of male directors, certainly of the 20th century, seem to bring about, with some exceptions, but a lot of the times that seems to be the case. So yeah, good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, though his role is pretty small in this movie, I am always happy to see Wallace Shawn show up and do his Wallace shenanigans. Mm. I just adore that man. He is wonderful.
I think his subplot where he and the other teacher start a romance, that's probably my favorite, one of my favorite parts of this movie.
Oh yeah, it is silly. One thing that this movie does have that is fun in a lot of ways, but does kind of bite it in the butt a little bit, is that this movie is excessively 90s, and I love that it screams the 90s most of the movie. They do use some terminology that is a little bit dicey by today's standards, but I was actually surprised across the board how well this movie held up overall. Like, I think that you could cut out a line or two and it would be pretty much acceptable by all accounts by today's audiences, which I was really appreciative of, because not all these movies that we've watched have been like movies that have aged well in these regards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. What else did you guys like about this movie? Was there anything else that you were thinking like, man, I will die if I don't mention how good this part was?
I mentioned my love of Paul Rudd, quote unquote, and honestly, like, he's fine and I don't really have the big of a problem with it, but I don't like him when he tends to play his classic Paul Rudd character of obnoxious person, but everyone seems to love him still. That gets on my nerves after a while. So his role in this movie of being like a normal person, I found really enjoyable. So,
who is purposefully a little bit obnoxious. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's very Jane Austen, of like kind of a standoffish guy who, if you just talk to him long enough, wow, he's really nice.
Extremely toxic. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I like it. Do we want to recap over any of the movie at all, just so that people who haven't seen it have a little bit more of a incentive to go watch it? Or do you think that if they're still listening, they're just fooling themselves and they should pause it right now and go watch it?
We can go through a couple plots if you want to talk to them, but I think with the fact that this movie is on HBO and fairly easy to access, and it's, you know, super lighthearted, it's a short film, I think it's 90 some minutes, so yeah, easy recommend to go watch for me.
Oh yeah.
Well, and since you're the Jane Austen expert, Kendrick, Josh hinted at this earlier, but I heard that in Emma, so it's not her stepbrother, because I don't know how much that would have happened back then, but it's her brother, her brother-in-law's brother.
Yeah, so I just looked this up because I assume, Josh, when you said awkward plotline, you meant the stepbro.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that in Emma, it's like her sister's brother-in-law or something like that. Like, he doesn't live with them. And maybe comes and spends a summer in there at her estate or something like that. But it's not her stepbrother.
Which I can see why with the character you'd want to go in like the only child direction, but it does complicate matters a little.
I think maybe in the 90s it was fine.
People married their stepbrothers all the time in the 90s.
Now, ex-stepbrothers.
Now the whole relationship with, it was like her dad's ex-wife's son, I guess. Is that how that worked? I was just like, I don't understand this, but I don't think it really matters. I was very confused.
You had to wheel out a whiteboard in order to...
Yeah, I had to diagram Nathan's sentence again to get to it.
Replace Sonic the Hedgehog with your dad's ex-wife son.
But no, so I think taking in modern-ish, you know, 90s settings, that works about as good as anything else. Because I think her as an only child works a little bit better. With Emma, you have her sister who I think gets married at the beginning of the story, and then she, you know, takes off and is like, oh, I am so happy. Here's my family. But I don't know. It didn't really bother me that much. It was a little weird, but I wasn't bothered by it in Clueless.
I also watched Never Been Kissed this week, and that's way worse. So I...
True. That movie has a lady going as an undercover cop to a high school. And so a teacher then proceeds to fall in love with this adult who is pretending to be a kid. And then when the person's like, oh, I'm not actually a kid, he's like, oh, I don't think I'm interested anymore.
I don't even know. Because
he lied
anymore
to me.
Like, yeah. I hope not.
Like, yeah. So it is wonky, but maybe I'm just overthinking the wonk situation of it all. I don't know.
So this is an interesting plot point, but did you know that Cher's mom died in a liposuction procedure when she was a baby?
A routine liposuction.
I totally missed that. I just saw that in the plot, and I was like, what? I guess if they're really going Beverly Hills,
it was just a routine liposuction.
I must have totally missed that, but that was very funny. Another thing that I thought was funny was when they're driving in the car and they accidentally get on the highway, because I remember when I was first learning to drive as a teenager, getting on the highway accidentally was terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that whole sequence, our entire house was just laughing in like awkwardness and in commisery with this... these characters, like, just, oh no, we've all been there.
Yeah, that's something I love about like a coming of age movie in general, and this movie in particular is just like taking high schoolers extremely seriously, like, and I think this movie like especially does it with like slang, where it's like, this is how they talk and we're gonna take that very seriously, which I think is like kind of shown in the movie, like during Murray's like speech. Where he's like talking about street slang.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That is definitely something that gets overlooked pretty easily. It's very easy to screenwrite and just come off really weird as the actor saying it. Like Kendrick and I were talking about, I think it was Air Force One. The little girl at one point goes, mother, or father, or something
like
that.
You're not gonna catch my father.
Yeah, and we're like, no.
What little girl talks like this?
No, yeah. And then in a movie like this, you can tell that they spent a lot more time to make sure that they had the lingo right. And it does really immerse you in the whole thing. And I think that that's one of the really strong points of this movie, is that you really do feel like you're watching something that could have happened with real people. Whereas some of the other movies, you have those moments where it's like, ah, you have a screenwriter. This is not something that ever happened or could happen. So yeah, I totally agree. That's great though. Thank you for bringing that up. That is a excellent point.
And I think part of it is, like, I know that Amy Heckerling, like, pulled from slang from, like, a lot of different time periods. Because I also think, like, if you just went full, like, 90s, it could really age itself.
Mm.
Like, if you're, like, like you were saying, how it goes so 90s in the fashion as well, if it kind of, like, camps itself, then it doesn't tend to, like, age.
Mm-hmm.
As bad necessarily.
Yeah, totally. And I think going explicitly for the valley element rather than just set in like a generic, you know, American town in the 90s also really helped with that, because it created like that iconic kind of separate, it's the 90s, but it's also separate from the 90s because of how ingrained in the valley it is. I mean, As If, I think, is on like a list of best movie quotes of all time.
I mean, I would like to petition for "I totally paused" to be added to that as well. so good.
Did you all know that there's a reboot planned?
I just saw that with Stacey Dash. Interesting. Everyone's favorite Fox News correspondent.
It's focus on her character. Is she in it?
Hopefully not.
Wow. Well,
there has been a theoretical musical that I will not get my hopes up about anymore, but for so long, there's been a theoretical musical.
I watched a recorded version of the musical, Broadway musical version of Legally Blonde. So if that movie can get one, then this movie can get one.
I mean, there's a SpongeBob musical, so I feel like anything could happen at this point.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know how to take that criticism, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah, this would make a great musical. I also think that
it has opened.
Oh. Well, there you
and
go.
Closed. Open and closed.
And shut that case. We're good to go. Like, just as I was learning about it, it's already done.
Yeah.
I think also this movie deciding to set it at a high school is interesting. I haven't seen Emma, and I wish that I had before I watched it, but I would guess that the character in Emma has less autonomy than somebody who's going to high school. But like, high school is great because I think that it shows that there is like a certain level of independence and autonomy while still having like these certain rigid rules that you have to stick to and stuff like that. Like the dad being talking to Christian or whatever the character's name is. Yeah. Christian, where he's like, yeah, you have to make sure that she's home by this time and blah, 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 blah. You still get those like Victorian elements in there while allowing them to explore a little bit more of their independence and stuff like that. So I just think that this was a really smart adaptation. In addition to being a good movie, it just works on like every single level.
I think part of the reason I think that like stuff from that time period tends to translate so well to high school is just like the idea of like rigid social rules that we don't have necessarily so much like as adults, but like, isn't Amber wearing the dress that you wore yesterday, Cher? Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah. That's a good point.
This is how we act at parties. This is what we do at parties. Like,
yeah. Because if you did that as adults, they would just be like, no, that's stupid. Who cares?
Yeah. And you're right that, like, in the original Emma, the Victorian era had those. She wasn't in school, but she definitely had more like social regulations that wouldn't make, like, would be hard to translate. So putting it in high school allows for a lot of that stuff to be kind of carried forward. All right. Is there anything else we want to talk about this movie before we move on to some trivial facts?
I was going to say the soundtrack is pretty good.
Yeah.
And by pretty good, I mean, it's really, really good. There's like a lot of bands that you'll recognize, but smartly, they don't do like their number one song for the most part. It's like a few songs down the list. But they're all great songs. and they all work super well within the context of the movie too. So that's another great part of this film.
Tenderness by General Public, an underrated bop.
Yeah, all those songs in this are really good. Like, great throwbacks to my childhood.
Yeah, Kendrick, just to make you feel old, this is... this movie came out right before I was born.
Oh.
Yeah, I was 1 year old. So,
well, wonderful. I would have been 8.
Yep.
Okay. Well, before we move on, we're going to take a quick break.
If this character has so much together, why is the name of the movie Clueless?
Everyone, because my interpretation, I'm sure everyone's is different, but my interpretation is, and what I want kids to get out of it, is that, all this makeup and all this, you know, facade we all put on and all this behavior, it's crap. It's just, it's not real. And bottom line is your heart's what's important. And we're really taking an extreme with this film and making it, you know, so over the top, you know, I wouldn't go anywhere without my cellular phone, my beeper, my makeup case, and I don't need any school books, you know, because that's not important. You know what I mean? We're all so clueless in that sense, and we're just running our little lives, but eventually Cher learns about her life, and she realizes that there is more to it.
All right, so now's the point of the podcast where we talk a little bit of movie trivia. Before we dive into the box office, I wanted to pose a question. If Bruce Willis were in this movie, what role do you think he would play?
Oh, the dad, for sure.
Yeah, like, I think that would that'd be a good fit. I can't think of anybody else that he would be in this movie that would be good. Maybe as like a teacher or something, but not replacing Wallace Shawn.
Yeah, I was going through this thought exercise, and I didn't want him to replace Wallace Shawn. I think if he replaced Twink Kaplan as his love interest, and that was like a queer love interest in like a modern remake, that would be funny to see Bruce Willis and Wallace Shawn interacting. Other than that, you're right, the dad.
Bruce Willis is the gym teacher, actually. I've changed my mind.
Yeah. That would be good.
Oh, right. Yes. Who's talking about the tennis balls to the face? That's Yeah.
Yeah. I could totally hear him being like, oh, right. And then he like does this like little speech about what it is to be fit or whatever, mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. And then cut over to the students and they're just like totally zoned out. Don't even care, on their cell phones.
Yep. I'm on my period. I have my plastic surgery.
Yeah.
Classic. Classic.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. That was wonderful. Joshua, why don't you tell me what this movie made at the box office?
Yeah, so this movie got made on a $12 million budget, which for comparison is right in between the budget of Pulp Fiction and Blind Date, and is exactly the same budget that Beavis and Butthead got made on. Wow. Wow, you say. How did it do? Well, unfortunately, it did not do as good as Beavis and Butthead, sadly. It did $56.6 million at the box office, which would put it right around the story of Us. Although that movie got made on like a $50 million budget, so not a good return for that movie. But this movie did really great. It was a surprise hit. I think it was like the number two film of the summer after like Apollo 13. Yes. Yeah.
It was like, was there other Apollo movies?
I was like, couldn't remember if it was Apollo 11, Apollo 13.
So other big 1995 movies. I'm curious how many of these you've all seen. Showgirls, Casino, The Babysitter, Batman Forever, Heat, To Die For, Johnny Mnemonic.
I do not think I've seen any of these.
I haven't seen any of those.
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
I've seen that one.
12 Monkeys.
I've seen that one.
And GoldenEye.
I've seen that one.
Nice. Well, Casino is a great movie. You should look it up. I think it's better than Goodfellas, personally, but that's just me.
I also haven't seen Goodfellas.
Well, Joshua, I guess we have our work cut out for us.
True.
So IMDb has a top 25 highest grossing high school comedies. And I don't know if they're adjusting or how they're figuring this, but Clueless falls in at number 13, so pretty much right in the middle. Easy A is number 12, and Never Been Kissed is number 14.
What's number one?
Oh, some Spider-Man movie. Spider-Man No Way Home, or Spider-Man Homecoming. Like, come on.
I mean, technically. I did like how that movie did feel more like a high school coming of age movie. But
that was the first of the Tom Hollands?
Yeah.
Okay. Lowest on this list, number 25, is Porky's 2, The Next Day.
Huh.
Where does Saved land on that list?
Saved.
Or famously high-grossing Heathers.
Yes.
10 Things I Hate About You is number 23, which I liked a lot.
That needs to be higher.
I don't know if I would say I like it more than Clueless. Probably like it about as much as Clueless, but surprised it's so much lower. Not Another Teen Movie, Pretty in Pink, Encino Man, John Tucker Must Die. Good God. That movie was terrible. Napoleon Dynamite is on this list.
What number is that?
Number 17. So
okay, so behind Clueless, fair enough.
IMDb does not.
Box office doesn't count like substitute teachers playing a movie in class, so that probably hurts Napoleon Dynamite.
Breakfast Club is number 16, so that's below Clueless. So this movie is not taking in any adjustment for dollar bills. Yeah, Saved is not on this list, Josh. Sorry to tell you.
Boo.
Okay. Truly shocking.
Yeah, we just watched two coming-of-age movies recently, or three, I guess, if you count the Spider-Man Homecoming. But yeah, we watched Saved the other day, and that movie was also all right. It's all right.
Nice. I don't think I've ever seen Saved.
It's got Macaulay Culkin in it, and it's about a Christian high school, like private school, and it's a lot.
I remember seeing the movie cover in Blockbuster.
Yeah,
back in the day.
Yeah, but Mandy Moore's in it too, and she's really funny.
Classic.
There's
Mandy
a character
Moore.
Who's unsubtly named Mary,
mm-hmm.
who has sex with her boyfriend to save him from being gay.
Oh, wow.
And she gets pregnant.
Wow. All right.
And that's in like the first bit of the movie, and it's great. It's pretty funny. Not as good as Clueless, but pretty funny.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. All right. Good to know. Do you know if this movie won any awards?
I don't off the top of my head.
It looks like she won a Kids' Choice Award. Oh, or is that not? Is that a hypothetical question? Was I not supposed to answer it?
No, no. I mean, it was a serious question. I'm looking at IMDb right now. She won, Alicia Silverstone won the Blockbuster Entertainment Award for Favorite Female Newcomer. And she also won Funniest Actress in a Motion Picture. It's an American Comedy Award. So
and they still say motion picture.
Yeah. What would you call it?
A still picture?
A still picture? All right, Josh. Look, we are classy over here. Okay. We got to keep moving, we're just off the rails here. Let's talk. The Star Trek Connection. Here we try to find a actor or someone on the cast or crew who was also in a Star Trek piece spanning all the Star Trek works. I started thinking through this one, and then I realized there's a obvious one that we've already mentioned, and that is Wallace Shawn, who played the Ferengi Zek in many episodes of Deep Space Nine.
The Grand Nagus.
Yeah, the Grand Nagus himself. I had totally forgot about this until I was like, oh, yes. I'm surprised. Josh, did you realize this when you watched it?
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, it's the Grand Nagus / Rex / a bunch of other things, the guy from The Incredibles, yada yada yada, and then I just forgot about it when we were talking about it, like, who?
Yeah, Shawal Shan is also in the Clueless TV show. Have either of you seen that?
Mm-mm.
Not, no.
Interesting. I assume he's reprising his role there. But anyway, great stuff. Great stuff.
Man, he was in Deep Space Nine literally at the same time as Clueless. Like, he was appearing all around that time.
Yeah, he was in, he's got quite the extensive resume.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. He also just seems like a really nice guy, too. Like, I listened to one podcast that he appeared on, and I was like, man, this guy seems great.
Yep.
So I hope he lives forever.
Indeed. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this recording of Where There's a Willis, There's a Way. Thank you, Kaylee, for joining us on this episode.
It was great to be here.
Thank you.
Find out more about what we'll be doing next. But first, we want to end, as we do, with our little sweet treat. The sweet treat is a little recommendation we like to leave you that is something we have been listening to, watching, eating, smelling, doing, talking about, experiencing, snorting, whatever. It is we feel like recommending. So, Kaylee, do you have something you can recommend as a sweet treat?
What I would recommend is Abbott Elementary, a mid-season TV show that's come out about an elementary school in, I think, Philadelphia. It's a fun time.
Great. I've actually heard a lot of positive stuff about this show. Looks like you can currently watch it on Hulu right now.
Yes.
All right. That is Abbott Elementary on Hulu. Josh, how about you?
Yeah, I'm actually going to plug Star Trek The Next Generation. I've been watching some of it recently because I'm in a Star Trek themed improv show at the moment. And Next Gen is still very enjoyable. So that's my sweet treat.
What a timeless recommendation Star Trek is.
Yes.
I've actually been contemplating starting with the original series and just watching all Star Trek media from the beginning, just for the heck of it.
Oh, if you do, we have to start a podcast where we talk about it.
Wow. Well, maybe. I figure
the demand
if
is out there.
I figure if I start it now, by the time that my soon-to-be-born child is aware of what we're watching, we'll like just be hitting the good stuff. And then another like 10 to 15 years, he'll be like, oh, I remember this from when I was a kid. We watch it again.
And then the cycle continues. Exactly. Another Star Trekling.
Mm-hmm. Star Trekling. Want to recommend another Amy Heckerling project. She directed several episodes.
Look of who's
the,
talking?
Of the, yeah, of the spin-off movie. No, there is a 3-series TV show on Amazon Prime that aired from 2015 to 2016 or something like that. It was very short. Each season is very short. It's called Red Oaks. Amy Heckerling directed a whole bunch of episodes of this show. And it's set in the 80s at a New Jersey, I think, or Connecticut country club called Red Oaks. And it's about kind of these high school kids who work at the country club and their parents who attend. And it's a lot of coming of age, but mixed with some other stories. Very funny, very silly, very 80s. Paul Reiser plays like the country club president. It's very enjoyable. So that's Red Oaks on Amazon Prime.
That sounds great. I'm sold already.
Yeah. I was like, man, Kendrick, you always come in here with these pitches. And then I'm like, man, I got to watch this. Yeah. I don't have enough time.
I know. It's a short, it's like 3 seasons. Each season's like 8 episodes. So
very short. Oh, okay. That sounds doable. Sounds doable. Thanks for listening to Where There's a Willis, There's a Way. You can follow us at Willis Way Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And you can email us at williswaypod@gmail.com. And then you can find all of our episodes on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you again, Kaylee, for joining us. Kaylee, did you want to plug anything?
If you want to know what high school movies I'm watching at any given time, you can always follow me on Letterboxd. It's at It's O'Kaylee, which I feel like I should spell at all times. So that's ItsOkaylie.
I got the whiteboard out, and that does check out. So that's perfect. You can follow me on Twitter at Joshing Carter.
And you can follow me on Twitter, where I tweet about what high school movies I'm watching, at K Martinix, spelled KMARTINIX. Next time, we're doing our final bonus 90s movie, and that is The Mask of Zorro. Real quick, I totally forgot to do this at the beginning, and because I'm a boob, we should have done it then, but we didn't, so I'm going to do it now. So thanks for sticking around for this extra sweet tweet. But Josh, before you watched Clueless, you told me what you thought the movie of Clueless was going to be about.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read now a quote from what you said. It said, referencing to the game Clue, playing or looking at the game Clue, will have a, you know, setting where someone learns something.
Hey, I got one of them.
And a mustache-twirling villain.
And no law school at any point.
No law school. sad. Hey, man, 1 out of 3, 1 out of 3. Yeah. I think my highest out of these is like 1.5 out of 3, something like
setting
that.
Setting where someone learned something. You really outdid yourself there. Have you seen Mask of Zorro?
I have, yeah, I've seen Mask of Zorro.
Okay, all right. I was going to get your prediction of what that was going to be about before we started.
Yeah, sorry, I won't predict anything because I would be right.
Okay, well, thanks for being truthful.
Yep, fair enough. All right, we'll see you guys later. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, yes, it's fun time. Fun time. Fun time. Fun time.
Alyssa Grayrock. Allie Grayrock. Yep. It's a good bit. We should keep going down that.